everybody, and welcome back to Rise of the Podcast. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Kara.
I'm Brownie.
And we're a full crew today.
Yay! Woo-hoo.
Jeremy's not in New Orleans anymore.
Yay. No, I'm back. Flew home yesterday.
And boy, are your arms tired.
I knew that was coming. I knew it was coming.
Jeremy's first text to me is like, what is going on with the weather here?
It was 33 or 34 when I landed in Duluth yesterday.
That's Fahrenheit for all of you. Yes,
Fahrenheit.
What would that be Celsius?
Zero.
Yeah.
Is it zero?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, like 35 Celsius is like 115 Fahrenheit, though.
Perfect.
So that'd be the opposite direction.
Right.
So actually, speaking directly to people, audio listeners, come on over to YouTube. YouTube.com/RiseOfThePodcast. Check us out. You can actually see our faces while we're saying stuff. We promise we're not that ugly.
No.
I was going to say, who doesn't want to see me go out that way?
Exactly. We understand the audio experience is one thing, but you know, give us a shout on YouTube. See if it's not something that causes some sort of horrible reaction.
Right.
I mean, you can see something awesome like Han Yotrek.
That's true.
Yep.
Occasionally, there's extra facts and tidbits. I'm going to put a fact down here, just some random fact that I'll pick later. Look at that, right on the bottom of the screen.
Hey! It's so informational. Chris, that is so interesting.
I gotta just put some pressure on myself.
Speaking it's gotta be interesting now. Come on.
Speaking of random facts, the terminal that I landed at is called Monaco Air. And so it's like a private terminal in Duluth. And They had facts up on the TV screen about Duluth. And some of them were really fascinating.
Like what?
So they had one
Duluth fact.
Yeah, come on now.
They had one about Teta Gooch and...
That's not even in Duluth.
Split Rock Lighthouse.
That's also not in Duluth.
Northern Minnesota.
They had one about the lift bridge. Oh!
That's in Duluth.
A 737 or a 747 has 6 million parts.
Dang.
That was one of the facts.
That's not about Duluth, though.
No. But that was one of the facts that I was like, wow. So if you think about it, you know, it was like
that's
a parts guy being like, oh, part 5,143,000 needs to be replaced.
Okay, well, speaking of like planes and parts and stuff, did you see somebody built a life-size X-Wing?
Oh, really?
Out of Legos? Out of Legos.
That billionaire over here.
I think it ended up being like 20 million some pieces.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
I mean, and what do we average out a piece is like what?
10 seconds.
How many, not time, but how much is it worth?
Oh, I don't know. It all varies.
If you're doing like buying them individually, it's like a nickel is the cheapest piece you can get.
So let's average out to like 15 cents a piece.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, times that by 20 million.
20 million, that's
a million.
$1 million X-Wing.
Yep. So yeah, but it's life size. It's really cool. It's even got R2 in it.
Is it cool. Bumpy when you sit inside of it?
Probably is.
That's really cool.
I just thought it was really cool. I don't remember where I came across that. It may have been posted in the Star Wars Celebration
picture. The thing that I'm wondering is if it's solid or if it's hollow. Because like if it's hollow, fine. You build is like, but like to me, it has to be solid throughout the whole thing.
Right.
But to
really be
that impressive. I mean, it's still obviously impressive.
Right. What am I saying? Life size. X-Wing. Impressive, yes.
That was pretty cool.
Does it have a thing where if you hit the thing, it shoots the proton torpedo out of
it? That would be, can you imagine a life-size one of those? Just a huge
That'd be dangerous.
It would be, just like a 10-foot thing.
It's used like a shock absorber spraying to shoot it out.
Right.
That'd kill someone. Easy.
It would definitely destroy a Death Star. Oh, that's what they should do, is they get a Death Star model and shoot the X-Wing.
Death Star pinata.
Oh,
that'd be awesome. It'd be pretty cool.
We need to do it. Jeremy, go acquire
that many pieces.
Yeah, right? I'll just borrow it.
I'll just borrow it.
Without asking.
Can you ship it to us, please?
Yeah, we'll do a collab with whoever did the
thing. Exactly. That's
right.
Bring the Death Star, they bring the X-Wing, and we'll see whatever happens.
And we'll share
the
candy inside the pinata.
Oh, what a deal. You spend $1 million on an X-Wing, but you get some free candy. Who wouldn't do that?
That seems like the fairest trade of
right?
them all.
Just fill it with a bunch of like cheap candy, dumbbells and stuff.
I remember a Duluth fact.
Oh, the worst candy. Okay, go ahead.
Based on community size, because this is according to Monica Ware, based on community size,
that's like a qualum. You're like, this is not a Jeremy fact.
No, this is a Monaco Air fact. Healthcare for the Duluth neighborhood is rated number one based on community size.
Okay.
Really?
So it was like, you get really, really good healthcare for the size of our community.
Paid for by St. Luke's.
Yeah, right.
Essentia Health. So the place that I work, we work with Essentia Health on a lot of stuff, and they spend a lot of money putting their name onto things so that people are aware of them. And it's like, to the part where it's like, we'll make stuff, and then one of our sales reps will be like, I'm going to see if Essentia wants to give us money to put their logo on it.
That's awesome.
But honestly, they do a lot of really awesome, cool stuff. Right. And so now we're just on a healthcare sideline because I actually think this is kind of cool. They are partnered with the National Institutes of Health doing a million person research project where it's like you go in, they just did a big event that I got to fly the drone for.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
They did this big, like basically an intake event where you go, you just fill out a short questionnaire, you get like a DNA swab and submit like a blood and a urine sample, right? And the idea is across the entire country, they want a million participants so they can make this huge database of all these different things.
That's cool.
So they can see if like there's a regional impact on people's health, or if you're from an area and then move to another area, are there any common things that can happen and stuff like this, like, and then like genetic profiling, all this stuff, this having this huge data set to look from to see if they can derive any types of trends in terms of like people that are more or less, you know, exposed to whatever, have higher or lower, whatever. It's just, it's super, super, super interesting.
Well, when I was down in...
And you get a $25 gift card if you sign up to do it. So
that's cool.
This podcast, sponsored but not sponsored by Essential Health. Right.
I was doing a tour down in North Carolina, and one of the wealthy people who owns a building down there got a really bad cough, and it was only cured by, like, mountain air or something like that. So he ended up moving to a different part of the country, and it's what fixed it, like what fixed his cough for him was the air quality and the air.
I would stay in the warm weather and deal with the cough.
Of course you would, Kara. So speaking of down south, so I got back from New Orleans and last
year. Wait, what did you say?
New Orleans.
Okay, Nolans? Thank you.
NOLA.
NOLA, I swear I heard so, New Orleans in there. I was like.
As we were joking really quick, I got to talk about Hulu. I've been watching Hulu Futurama, and so I've been getting ads up. And since I was down there, I was getting all Louisiana ads. So it was
the
like,
gumbo pack.
They had the gumbo pack, and then they had this is Louisiana crawfish, and these crawfish are from China, and we don't want these crawfish down
Wasn't
here.
Wasn't that sponsored by the gumbo pack too?
It was sponsored by the gumbo pack. So I was like, I was getting like all these Louisiana based ads, and it's not. This is applicable to me.
Snopes of the South.
Yeah. Well, so an interesting thing like that. So when I watch certain NFL football games, I will stream them.
Right.
And the Buffalo area is a place where I get a lot of the streams from. So I see all these, like, there's a place called Consumer's Liquor in the Buffalo area.
In case you're over there.
Yeah, and it's just, like, it's interesting. And so I make ads is my day job. Right. And it's interesting to see how, like, literally exactly the same every place is. Like, Buffalo, for all intents and purposes, it could be in China for all we, you know, it's like, it's nowhere near where we're from, but like, all their stuff's the same.
Right.
Yeah. They've got all the same things that they want people to buy.
Oh, yeah.
Just one of them says Buffalo and one of them says Duluth.
Right.
So, just funny to me.
Yeah, it was just interesting to be exposed to those ads down there, because they're definitely, those felt different to me, though, but it was because it was like a political season, so their issues that they have are a lot different.
Elect Johnson for Roscoe Parrish.
Right, exactly. And so then instead of go vote, they had G-E-A-U-V vote, go vote.
Go.
So that was pretty interesting. But no, so there was some cool things I figured we could talk about New Orleans. So we went to one of the best restaurants we've ever had down there.
Oh, my goodness. It had only been on for 3 weeks. So it's a Southern Charm.
Southern Charm. And these guys almost told me all about this.
But we waited.
Like, and then I was like, no, podcast.
Shut up in your face. So this is monetizable content here, guys.
Right.
I read about them online. And then so we pull up to the building and I almost didn't go in. Because the first thing is that it said cash only on the door. But it wasn't like a... wasn't a requirement by them. Normally, it was their machines were down. They were having problems with their network or their credit card machine.
Okay.
But it's in a very long, like...
it looks like a warehouse.
But a very thin warehouse.
Yeah.
It was very... the building was very thin. And so I was like,
Like 10 feet wide? Or? Well,
it was very thin.
I would say
thin.
It was probably 20 feet. I mean...
it just looked
for
funny.
For a build, it was long. Think of, like, two trailer houses stacked on top of each other.
Okay. So, like... remember when we went to the packing district? Would it be like half as wide as that, would you say? Or less?
Yeah, I'd say at least half as wide.
So basically, yeah, if you took like one of the hallways, instead, because there's that loop that goes down.
Right.
Like, would that be pretty comparable?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and then here's the thing, too. They didn't have a legitimate sign.
There was no
sign. It was a banner hanging across the top of the building.
That was
so
it.
So it was like...
not a front for drugs.
Right. So we... I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go here because appearances matter. And I was like, this just doesn't look like a safe restaurant. But the reviews online said the staff was super friendly. So I was like, well, I'm going to at least go in and check it out.
Okay.
So I ran in there before we committed to getting cash.
But you went to look for an ATM in there.
That's the other thing. I wanted to see if they had an ATM and it was like, wouldn't be a big deal. I wouldn't have to go get cash. So I walked inside. I looked around. My first thought was, Kara, we're eating here. Like, this is this is awesome. And it was just me, but that's what I thought to myself was about Kara eating there. So I'm like, Kara, we're eating here. So I go back out to the car. I'm like, we're eating there. So we go down and get cash. We come back and Kara walks in. She's like, wow. Kara felt underdressed for how nice it looked inside there.
It was
like,
nice.
Was it all like white linens?
Yeah, they had linen tablecloths, but with white paper over the top of them. But like, it looked
fancy.
It
was nice.
It was nice.
And like I said, they'd only been open 3 weeks. So they're still like working out kinks.
But. Working out, yep, all the bugs and everything like that. So
do you have any photos from the inside of this place?
Rich does?
Okay,
Rich took a couple photos of the inside.
All right. Well, if Rich gets them to you and you get them to me in time,
we'll put some photos up.
Okay.
Well, let's put the photos up. Oh. It's just like the po' boy. Yeah.
So, right. So the owner was there. It was bad. The owner was there in a white, chef's coat. The actual chef was there in a white chef's coat. He was walking around talking to people, getting their opinions on everything. So we sat at the bar area. We got in right away.
The owner was like, you know, it's going to be probably 45-minute wait for a table. He was like, so if I were you guys and you don't mind, I just sat at the bar. So we sat at the bar.
I'm going to just read off what I ordered. So we started off with every day they make a daily cornbread. And it was fantastic. So
that means it's just fresh daily, or they have a different type of cornbread for each day of the week?
Different type of cornbread for each day of the week.
But it's made fresh. Ooh. But it's made fresh. Every single day. Like, ours came fresh from the oven. Like
hot, crumbly apart, just, fresh cornbread.
Which day of the week were you there?
We were there on a Saturday, and I went on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so Saturday night was like a fall seasonal cornbread.
It was
like
a pumpkin spice. Yeah. Pumpkin spice cornbread.
It was delicious.
Autumn spice. I think it was called autumn spice. That thing.
They're trying to keep all those basic ladies out of there. If you call it pumpkin spice, you're going to have nothing but leggings and Uggs.
Yeah, right.
call it fall spice.
To die for. They brought out samples and Jeremy and I were like, oh my gosh.
This is so good. It gets better.
We definitely ordered.
I haven't eaten yet today, so don't talk too explicit of details.
So,
we ordered more.
So for our appetizer, we got Bayou Rolls. So those are Louisiana crawfish, Cajun sausage, roasted corn, cheese wrapped in an egg roll shell, and then fried with a Creole tomato aioli.
Sausage. Oh my goodness.
That was to die for. The textures were perfect. The crisp was on the
egg rolls. Fried. And they were delicious. Oh, so all of that was deep fried in an egg roll, and it was... That was to die for. So that established a baseline. So I was like, wow, I haven't had this good of food in a long time. This was hands down one of the best places we'd eaten down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it established a baseline. So then they had brought out the cornbread. We tried that. And so for dinner, I ordered a burger. So I was like, okay, excellent appetizer.
Yeah.
Excellent, like, free item menu or, like, free cornbread, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was like... They've set the bar, they've kept the bar, and they've been going from there.
Hold on one second. Very professional podcast. Hello. Yes. What's up? Heck yeah. Would it about an hour and a half be okay? All right, perfect. Well, I'll see you in a little bit. All right, thanks, Bob. Bye.
So for those of you who don't know, Chris's car has been in getting fixed. That was the dude telling him his car is done.
Yay, my vehicle's done. Aren't we so happy that we know that my car is functional again?
Yes, yes. Functional car.
Oh boy.
Well, it works out. We're down here. We can drop you off at your car. I mean,
yeah, the logistically, I did this probably the worst possible way because the shop that I went to is like several cities away from the city that I live in, which is also different than the city that we're in recording this. So just geographically, it's a nightmare.
But it worked well because it's not too far out of the way back home.
Yeah, so between here and where we live is sort of where the shop is. So everything will work out nice. I'm going to have to stop... at an ATM, I imagine.
Got it.
So
Pam.
Illegal. Yep. I'm sorry. Illegal use of time.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, I'm glad that made it into the podcast.
Yeah, right?
I mean, come on.
All right. So back to the restaurants. We had a great experience. We had excellent egg rolls, excellent cornbread. And so I was like, there's no way. It's going to be really hard to keep this level up when all I did was order a burger. So the burger I got is Lanyap, is how it's pronounced. It's spelled really crazy. And
is there an X in it?
Nope.
Okay.
It's L-A-G-N-I-A-P-P-E.
Whoa, that's insane.
Yeah, and okay, it's pronounced
Lanyap. We'll put up a little fact bubble about this, too.
So I want to tell you about it. So Edward, the owner, came over, and he said, you know what Lanyap means? And I said, I have no idea. So it down there, if you do something and you go a little bit extra, it's Lanyap. That's going that little bit extra mile, doing that little bit extra to make something special.
Okay.
So this burger, Chris, I compare it to home slice pizza. Best pizza I've ever had in my life. This is the best burger I've ever had in my entire life.
I agree.
So the Lanyap burger is 8 ounces of formed beef and Louisiana hot sausage grilled with cheddar cheese, bacon.
Yes.
And then the chef's famous sauce served with French fries or veggies.
Heck yeah.
So it was.
You didn't bring one home for
me. No, I didn't. We'll just have to go down there and you'll have to come.
Yeah, fly me down there so I can get a sandwich and then you fly back.
So it was. It was the sausage was a separate patty from the burger.
Ooh,
and it was all smushed with the chef's special sauce. So it was really funny. So Kara got a po' boy.
I got a fried catfish po' boy.
You
got
to do the authentic cuisine.
Yes. So Kara got the catfish po' boy. And so she had her plate. I had my plate. I took a bite of the burger and I said, Kara, they've done it. They've kept the bar for how good this food is. I now have a new place that I can say is my favorite burger of all time. So I gave Kara the sandwich to take a bite, and the chef is sitting there at the counter watching us. And
I imagine that you guys are sitting at the bar, like side by side,
yep.
And he is literally like his elbows are almost touching your plate.
Not that close.
And he's like, is it good?
So the cash register was at the end of the bar, and he was kind of like looking at the till, but he was also watching us. So he was like watching us see what he said. So Kara took a bite, and she goes, oh my goodness. She reaches down, grabs her po' boy, and just slaps it on my plate and takes another bite of the burger, and the chef lost it. He just burst out laughing. He's like, she stole the sandwich because it's so good, or whatever, his burger, because it was so good. And so I came by, and I thanked him for how good it was, and he said it's like, he claims it's the sauce, but I really think it was a combination of like burger with the sausage patty, and then all together with the sauce and the cheese.
It was amazing.
Fantastic.
Well, so that's when I do spaghetti, that's how I do the meat. Is half of it is spicy Italian sausage and half of it is beef.
I don't care what you're making, you can never go wrong adding sausage in with the beef.
Yep.
I don't care if it's chili, lasagna, I don't care. Beef and sausage, perfect together every time.
Yep. Oh man, that sounds so freaking good. So was the po' boy good too?
The po' boy was good. The Lanyap earned its name with that though, because it did go that extra, you know, it was...
Fair enough.
So we loved it so much. I took my friends back there.
You didn't finish our experience.
Oh my goodness. I got to backtrack.
So Jeremy and I are like full at this point. So everybody knows we're full at this point.
We got an extra order.
The portions sound like they're pretty decent as well.
My po' boy was probably like this. No joke. It was a sub. It was huge. Dang.
So we had Bayou rolls. Cornbread, an extra order of cornbread, my Lanyap burger, fries, all of that food. I was already getting pretty full. Like,
I finished every part of my po' boy or fries because I was like, okay, I'm like.
I ate the rest of her the little bit of extra catfish and just left the bread.
Okay.
Because it was good. I love fried catfish. Nice big piece of fried catfish. So Edward and them were like, I told them about, you know, the level of excellence that they maintained in this. And now they're getting excited. So now he comes out from the kitchen and he's like, I made this for myself. I want you to try it. So it's his homemade dirty rice, which is sausage.
Is it off menu then? Or?
You can get it as a side. Okay. They do have it listed as a side, but he says his favorite thing. So he brought us over
rice as a side. Yep.
Okay.
He brought it over to us as a side, and there were probably 3 or 4 spoonfuls for each of us.
Yes.
And so I got 2 in, and I was like, oh, Jeremy, I don't know if I can do this.
We're good. So we had that, and we're like, check, please, everything. And he goes, you're not leaving yet. He's like, I'm bringing you all bread pudding compliments of us or whatever. So like compliments of the chef and slash the owner. I have a picture of that as well.
The cornbread, we got the dirty rice, and we got the bread pudding on the house.
Oh my goodness.
It was to die for. It was so good.
It was a bread pudding. It was like in the shape of a pie, but then it had chocolate, caramel, and a rum sauce drizzled over top.
Can we just stop the podcast? It's ridiculous.
And so
it was so good.
They were so nice.
What's the name of this place again?
Southern Charm.
Southern Charm.
It earned
this portion
its name.
Of the podcast brought to you by Southern Charm.
Seriously, if you haven't gone, go. I don't care where you live, go.
it was so good. And it was just fun. Very rarely do you see chefs interacting with, like, the patrons anymore and stuff like
usually
that.
Usually so busy cranking away on whatever.
Right.
Right. And even the owner was out and about joking around. I mean, we were joking with the manager. We were joking with the bartender, the owner. I mean, everybody was so nice.
It was a really good time.
We didn't
want
to leave. I think we ended up...
Really,
we brought
like
a Minnesota goodbye to them.
Yep.
They gave you the Southern hospitality. You gave them the Minnesota goodbye.
Yes. But yeah, that night I just laid down and I was just like sitting there like, oh, I am so full. Oh, please just let this, you know, it's just, I was packed to the capacity. And then I woke up the next morning. I didn't even want anything to eat because I was still super full.
I asked him, I was like, so what do you want to do for breakfast? He's like, nothing.
I'm going to have a nap for breakfast.
Right.
So that was a really good experience. But so we did the podcast. Kara was still home. She flew down the next day. We did tons of stuff, as much as we possibly could.
We started out going to like the sculpture gardens.
We went
and
to
the botanical garden.
Yep. The city park area, because the city park is twice the size of Central Park in New York.
Yeah, it's 2.5 square miles.
Dang.
It's huge. So we walked around, we checked out the sculptures, the botanical gardens, saw like alligator gar, the fish. They had a big celebration going on there. Super, super hot.
Which is super funny. They had like a festival type thing. They had a bunch of, you know, vendors and stuff. There was a vendor from Minnesota.
Yeah,
down in New Orleans.
Dang.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were walking around and I heard her saying, yeah, back home in Minnesota. I was like, what are you doing down here? Right? I mean.
Can you check and see if that camera's, this thing got disconnected for some reason.
Yeah.
So. Oh, my camera's not working. Oh, yep, my gosh.
All right.
Oh, it is.
22 minutes. All right. Well, do you want to just cycle that for me while you're up there? Sorry.
Just cycle it?
Yeah. Sorry, this thing's being insane.
Yeah. So. It was actually, the New Orleans something museum. What was it that it was?
Which museum, no?
The gardens. It was a museum park.
I don't remember.
I know I hashtagged it, so hold on.
Okay. What story did you want to tell about it?
No, it was just beautiful.
Oh.
New Orleans Museum of Art. So we have a bunch of pictures of that we can post if we want.
Yeah. It's really pretty.
It is.
It was really, really pretty, really good time.
We went through a Japanese, in the botanical garden, they had a Japanese section.
Okay.
And we were walking through it. And Jeremy, what's my favorite thing about New Orleans?
They're called like, well, we're just going to call them geckos. They're little lizards.
Okay.
That are all
they're
over the place.
Are they like a nuisance considered? Or?
I don't know to them, but to Kara, they're an anti-nuisance. Because one of their favorite foods is moths.
Oh, there you go.
And so she hates moths, hence the moth story from episodes ago.
I was going to say, we should just insert right here the video of you going,
yeah.
But yeah, so they eat moths, and we saw them all over the place down
there.
They
were so cute.
Yeah, I had one in my room.
Two in your room?
Yep.
So Jeremy, like, he's about ready to leave the hotel, and he's like, oh my goodness, we're on the phone.
Actually, this is kind of funny.
And we're on the phone, and Jeremy's like, Kara. There's a gecko in my window. And I look at it, I was like, is that inside? And it had gotten somehow between the screen
and the
window
glass.
Pane.
So he's still outside,
somehow,
but he was stuck.
He was outside.
So Kara's like, you have to save him.
And so
and
he opens the window and he's like, there's two here. So one's brown and one's green, and this comes into play. Jeremy goes to grab the brown one, and they're fast. They're real fast, right? So he skitters away from him and he like disappears in the room somewhere, right?
He jumped down and got out.
Okay.
So now he's in my room now.
So then Jeremy goes for the other one and he gets the other one. And so the green one. And so he goes and he goes to let the gecko out. The gecko wiggled out of his hand and up onto his shirt.
Yep. And so I was just trying to get to the door as quickly as possible. So Kara's in the room on FaceTime, watching
FaceTime.
All of this. And then
so I hear the door open and shut, and I'm like, probably 2 minutes later, I'm like, did Jeremy die out there?
What do you think happened, Chris?
Jeremy got locked out of his room.
I got locked out of my room. And the second the door shut, I look behind me, I'm like,
I don't have my key.
I don't have my wallet. I don't have anything,
oh,
right?
No.
So he goes down to the desk.
I go down to the desk. And then the lady wouldn't give me a new card. She's like, well, I can't, without your ID, sir, I need your ID. I'm like, I'm locked out of my room. And I said, I'm in the military. I have my name tag. Like,
I have
right
my
here,
name tag.
You know?
How do you think I got here in the first place?
You know, so she's like, asking me like my last four of my credit card I used to check in and my phone number I used to make the reservation. I knew all that. And she's like, all right, here you go.
And so probably 5 minutes later, he finally comes back to the room. I'm like, okay, my husband's
she's
not
still
dead.
On FaceTime.
Right? I almost hung up. I came this close to hanging up. And so he comes back in, and now he's looking for the other gecko. And he's like, you know, where could it have gone? He's like, wait, there's a green one in this window. Apparently, these little guys.
They can change color.
They can change between green and brown.
They're called fake chameleons or something because they only have two colors.
They're
green and,
super
green and brown.
Cute. Oh, and when they eat big things, they've got this dorsal fin thing on their back
that
expands
up.
When they're eating, when they eat large things. It's actually kind of cool.
Interesting.
So he finally catches the second one. I'm like, Jeremy, you need pictures of this guy, so maybe we can post a picture of the gecko.
Okay.
He's so cute. Oh, my goodness.
What'd you name him? Did you name him Gordon Gecko?
No, she didn't name him.
I didn't name him.
I was trying to get him out of my room.
So he was wiggly. Like, Jeremy was holding on to him. He was like... trying to get away.
Well, they invented twerking in New Orleans.
Yeah, right. That's right. Well, that's they got it from the geckos.
Anyway, so we let that one go. But that's my favorite part. So anyway, back to the Japanese garden. There was a little gecko in the Japanese garden. It made me so happy. I have pictures of him. He's adorable. Whoever doesn't like little geckos, there's something wrong with you.
So I had to take Kara down to the famous French Quarter.
Yes.
We went down there.
Okay, so I just, because I don't know anything about the French Quarter, then it's called the French Quarter.
Yep.
So, like, in my mind, this is my headcanon for the French Quarter, and tell me how accurate or inaccurate.
All right, lay it on us.
So they have a line drawn, imagine a pie chart of the city, which is perfectly circular in my mind, and then there's a quarter of this cut out, and they're like, all the French stuff happens here.
Not even close.
Nice try. So a for effort.
New Orleans looks like on a map, like Long Island, just laid out on like, cause it's got the boot and it's got just this.
Wow.
Sprawling,
that was the most Minnesotan boot I've ever heard.
So it's got the boot and then it's got, you know, like a sprawling landscape. And then the French Quarter is just a square grid right on the water, right on the bay and right in the heart of New Orleans, but it's on the water. And so you get down there, and then there's parking, and then they've got a French Market, which is a long thing. They have a big statue of Joan of Arc down there.
Mm-hmm, because Joan of Arc, the
French.
Maiden of Orleans. New Orleans.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but I know who you're talking
think
about
in French there. it's like Orleans or something like that, but we've brought it to New Orleans.
Yep.
Anyway, that's basically the city's named after her, more or less. So they have a big old gold statue of her. That's pretty cool.
And then so Carrot has always wanted to do the like horse rides in Canal Park, and we never got a chance to. So down there they have mules.
Okay.
Because they hold up to the heat and everything like that. So we got on a mule tour and I learned some really cool things. So why do you hate episode one, Chris?
I mean, lots of reasons.
The opening CGI. Crawl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Taxes.
Taxes, right?
Space taxes, tax.
So it's amazing how much taxes drive things in this world. So the French Quarter is very iconic for their galleries and their balconies. So balcony is unsupported and the gallery is supported.
Okay.
It's got posts, you know.
It's got the posts. So when you think of a classical building down there, you see the wrought iron balconies with the big posts and then the multiple levels of the thing. Well, when that area was being built, they wanted to try to tax people. So instead of coming up with just a property tax, they came up with a hallway tax because they figured the more hallways you had, the more money you had, the more tax you would be able to pay.
Okay.
So to get around that, they just didn't build hallways.
This is big open rooms.
Big open rooms that you get to by going outside and going back in the doorway because the galleries or the balconies are not hallways. They're galleries or balconies.
Or the other thing they would do is they would put walkways between buildings, so they'd be covered, but it'd be a walkway, and then you could go off into the doors.
Okay.
So I had to laugh when the guy was explaining that to us. I was like, man, all these beautiful buildings are so iconic. Everyone has a balcony or a gallery because no one wanted to pay taxes.
Well, the other thing that he told us was none of the buildings' main doors, ever let out into the street. They all have a courtyard, and all of the exits to the main doors to the houses would be into the courtyard.
Okay.
Because when New Orleans was built, the French Quarter was built, they didn't have indoor plumbing, and so everything would get tossed out onto the street.
Okay.
And so you don't want to walk out your front door into a human turd.
Right.
Fair enough.
So, that was pretty. So all the iconic views you see as well are actually just the backs of all these houses.
Mm-hmm.
And the inside, which are all, private entryways now, and you can't really see any of the courtyards unless you know somebody, are all the interiors of the houses, or the front of the houses are facing inside, and the other ones are facing outside.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
So that was kind of cool, and it was like, man, there's these people are just trying to dodge taxes, so they just get all smart. And
I wish we could dodge taxes like that.
Right.
Or is that what you call renters these days?
Well, they don't have to pay property tax.
But exactly. Every other tax,
incorporated into the rent. But
true.
So that was a really cool little tidbit or fact that we had learned.
Yeah. And then talking about, the balconies or the galleries, so you don't see it very often down there anymore because due to insurance purposes, it's super expensive to have these. The poles on the, or the poles.
Yeah, the poles that support the.
That support the gallery. They had spikes on them.
Okay. They actually called them Romeo spikes.
Romeos. Oh,
so
okay.
Guys couldn't crawl up to see their ladies.
And court the women. So homeowners would do that and then do it. But now because of insurance reasons.
And how crazy people get on Mardi Gras.
People climb them and get hurt, and then they hold the landowner responsible.
So I think
a couple houses that hold out.
I think he said 6 or 7.
Yeah.
In all of the French Quarter, don't have these spikes anymore. You saw a few of them on the tour.
Yep.
But
that was kind of cool.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What a different place.
And they also grease the poles too.
Yeah, I think that's what they do more
during Mardi Gras.
During Mardi Gras,
they'll grease all the poles.
Yep.
So people
can't even begin to climb them.
Yep.
Okay. You just
woo.
So, and then, so it originally New Orleans was French, correct?
Yep.
So, and then it burned down in early 1800s, I think it was.
Even early or late 1700s.
Something
and then they
like
rebuilt
that.
It.
And the Spanish came back and rebuilt it. So when you look around, everything is very Spanish. It's not the French design that you would expect to see. It's all very Spanish.
Okay.
It's beautiful, but there is one building left. That is originally,
it's French,
more than one, but there's one main building left that's French, still okay. French. Somehow it survived, but it was kind of cool because of the floodwaters and stuff,
foundation
is probably 10 feet high.
Oh, dang.
It's 6 feet high.
It's only 6 feet, you think?
Yeah, it's about as tall as me, but that's crazy. The main floor of the house doesn't even start until 6 feet.
Yeah.
Compared to everything else.
Yeah. So it's pretty, the outside of it looks pretty wretched. But the guy said that recently, I think 2012, they actually turned it into a historical museum there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
That was really cool, too.
I don't remember the name of the building. I think I have a picture of it, but I don't remember the name. We can maybe post down here what it's actually called.
But then one of the other things we got to go do is the National World War II Museum is down there.
Hold on. You forgot to talk about Café du Monde.
Oh, Café du Monde. All right, we'll go back to Café du Monde.
Oh, my goodness. How do you forget Café du Monde?
So that was one of the places I was super excited to go, and I waited to go until Kara was there. I had beignets from Café Beignet, but they also make beignets at
Café du Monde.
At Café
which has
du
been
Monde.
Around since 1772?
It's before the U.S. was the U.S.
Okay.
So it's been there, open 24 hours. It's been there ever since then. So you get the real chicory coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So they used to use chicory to cut the coffee down with, so they had more for the soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd get these beignets. And these beignets were delicious.
So we're standing in line.
And you have to get three at a time.
We get a pack of three. It comes in. We saw it came in a pack of three. And I was like, you know what? I want my own. Jeremy, I want my own. He's like, no, we're only going to get one bag, Kara. It's going to be fine. Three is enough for us. I was like, no.
One a piece.
I want my own.
One.
I don't think Jeremy.
We went back and forth line.
I don't think Jeremy finally decided until we were ordering that we were going to get two bags.
Okay.
Okay, and then we got two large of the frozen cafe au lait because it's hot down there. I don't want a hot coffee. We sat down. We both ate three beignets.
A piece.
And Jeremy looked at me. He's like, you were right.
I was like, I'm really glad we each got our own bag of beignets because they were delicious. I mean, they're hot right from the thing. It tasted like a cross between a mini donut and a Danish, but without the fruit, just like the size of a Danish, but the taste of a mini donut.
So it came in a bag, like your standard brown paper bag size, like your lunch bag.
Yeah.
It came in about that size of a bag. like I said, 3 beignets in each. And these things are doused in powdered sugar.
Doused.
Jeremy, after he was done eating, he was like, man, it looks like I just did a line of Coke or something.
It was insane. It was doused in powdered sugar to the point where powdered sugar was even starting to soak up the grease from the beignet, making these hard little grease balls of
powdered sugar. It was.
They were delicious. Like you'd bite them and then you'd crunch the little hard grease powdered sugar balls and it would just explode flavor in your mouth. It was delicious.
You know that that's shaving years off your life.
I know.
When you ate your last beignet and you looked in the bottom of the bag, there was probably 3/4 of an inch of powdered sugar settled in the bottom of the bag.
I was going to say, but when I threw the bag away, I'm not kidding, there was at least 1/2 pound of powdered sugar in the bag.
Dang.
There's that much powdered sugar on them. They're so good.
Die for. That was, I heard somebody, the mule tour guide, he said that his favorite beignet is from Café Beignet.
Okay.
My favorite, Café Du Monde.
Yeah, I preferred the Café Du Monde one. I've tried both, and I prefer the Café Du Monde.
Oh, and we didn't say what our mule's name was. Her name was Queen.
She was sassy. He was giving her, he was hosing her down before we went on our tour. And then
loved that.
Yeah,
and nice the reason they use mules, fun thing, mules can stand up to heat better than horses can.
Mm-hmm.
And also, mules are sterile.
Yep.
Because the mix between a horse and a donkey, it cannot then go and reproduce.
Yep, I didn't know that.
Yep.
So.
That's actually true in Minecraft, too.
Yep, right. Yep. You can't breed a mule.
Oh, interesting. So anyway, he let us feed her treats afterwards, and I got a picture with her, and she was so cute. Ooh, I want a mule.
Do you want a mule, or do you want one of those crazy lizard gecko things?
Both.
Oh, okay.
She wants to pet her gecko thing while riding on a mule.
Yes! I love it.
Yeah, to get beignets. Every day she hops on her mule and goes down there and gets a beignet and then drives back.
It was so good. Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, the other thing we checked out was a World War II museum, and mm-hmm. it's a fantastic experience. We were there for over 6 hours. When you go there...
Holy crap. I would have hit eject way faster than that.
No, you wouldn't have.
Trust me.
I've got a low tolerance for a lot of stuff.
Oh, so...
It was good.
They've got, every building is about a different campaign.
Yep.
And even, trying to walk through as fast as possible, everything was themed. So you start off and you learn about the start of the war, and then you get into this one building and they had as you walk through, they had a house exactly as it would have been in 1940. Mm-hmm. So you go through the museum through there. Then a big part of the World War II history was the United States, all the workers that were building.
Yeah, the manufacturing. Yep.
And everything like that. So then that, you walked into a warehouse and they had a rivet gun or you could rivet a side of an airplane.
They had a big section on Rosie the Riveter. So at the World War II Museum, right in the very beginning, before you get on your train, they have a section where they've got a plane "We Can Do It" banner and a plane
"You Can Do With Less" or whatever, more or less.
So they can
do with less, so they have more, or something.
Yeah, something like that. And so you can dress up as either Rosie the Riveter or as a pilot.
Okay.
And so I went. I was like, oh my gosh! So apparently, Beyonce went to the World War II Museum.
Okay.
And she dressed up in this stuff and did the "We Can Do It" and apparently made it explode. I knew she had dressed up as Rosie the Riveter, but I didn't know
where
it was. I thought it was a Halloween thing she did.
Okay.
But apparently it was there. So
that's cool.
I put on all this stuff and everybody standing in line was like, oh my gosh, she looks just like Rosie. I was like,
hadn't you dressed up like her before?
Halloween? Yeah, I have.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
That image was in my brain.
And then I photoshopped the "We Can Do It" behind me and everything.
No, they're kidding.
But they had the actual banner down there, which was kind of cool.
So I did that and everybody was like, yeah, she looks like Rosie. I was like,
oh, here's something I know you would have liked. They give you a dog tag.
Oh, yeah, this is
cool.
It's
a credit card. No, you would have loved this. I'm serious.
It's really cool.
So it's a credit card. But around in every single room in buildings 1, 2, and 3, they had a machine that had a video or a story about World War II. Mm-hmm. You would NFC your dog tag to the machine, mm-hmm. and it had collectibles in there that you could take home, and then you program it online, and you can look at 3D models of all the collectibles you got, rewatch videos about your thing.
Thing is, you're assigned a soldier from World War II,
and it tells you his specific story in each booth.
6 of the consoles, they give you.
That's freaking cool.
Yeah,
dude, it was off the hook. Awesome.
Do they have benches to sit down?
Tons of benches.
Okay. Yeah,
tons of benches.
My guy was Ernie Pyle,
who was a journalist during World War II.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
He was a war correspondent, and it's kind of cool. He was well-loved by all of the soldiers during World War II, and he basically wrote from the trenches, from the perspective of a GI. He would interview them and stuff like that. And so all the guys loved him.
GI Joe. I think we've talked about this before.
Government issue Joe.
Yep.
And so after he was done with the war in Europe, he decided to go to Okinawa. And he wasn't even that far into his writing there when he was riding in a Jeep. And his convoy came under attack. And so everybody bailed. They went down into a ditch, and the firing stopped. And so he kind of looked up to make sure everybody was okay. No more. He didn't see any firing. Nobody was down. He looked down, asked the guy next to him, "Are you okay?" And a sniper shot him through his left temple.
Oh, damn.
Yep.
Yeah, and it got spoiled by a plaque before she finished the story on the dog tag. Oh. We were walking through. I'm like, Ernie Pyle, that name sounds familiar. I'm like, Kara, that's your guy. He died.
You know? It was really sad. But everybody loved him. Apparently, he was a super nice guy, just absolutely awesome.
I had Jimmy Kanya. It's K-A-N-A-Y-A. Kanawa. And his story was really fascinating. So when the Japanese attacked the U.S. during World War II, they rounded up all the Japanese citizens in the United States and sent them off to internment camps.
Yep.
And his
Idaho,
parents,
wasn't it?
All over Utah, Idaho.
I thought a lot of them were in California.
They took them from California and brought them inward, so they couldn't.
Oh, I see. That's
yeah.
Okay.
So they might not have taken them from like the middle of the U.S., but so his parents did that, and then so you learn about like they weren't salty about it. They said that it was just they were a product of circumstance. And so they tried to make the best of it, and it showed the internment camps how people turned it from this dry military barrack style living to a community, and how they like made Boy Scouts, like mm-hmm. they did Boy Scout stuff there, and the girls did projects and gardening.
Well, and then the U.S. government, once the young boys were the teenage boys were old enough, they asked them, "Would you serve in the U.S. Army?" And a lot of them did.
Okay.
Even being sent to these internment camps, they were like, "Yeah, we'll do it." And apparently, they were pivotal in like the war.
Interesting.
And so, one of the things that was really cool is, and I'd never seen this before. They claimed about the museum claimed this 4D experience. I'm like, 4D experience. What's going on
you
here?
Have
you know,
to, you have to go and experience. It's amazing.
So they would have like a wall. And then they'd have a piece of glass and then maybe come forward like 4 inches in a piece of glass. And then they'd come forward like 3 pieces of glass and then one final piece of glass. Every glass had a projector. So they would talk about you walk into this one room. And so they would have articles about 1941 Pearl Harbor. And then they had Franklin Roosevelt in a podium and they projected him in like against these 3 pieces of glass, different parts of him. So it looked like he was right there giving the speech and you were right there. They had like an old microphone and old speakers and it made it sound like it was period.
The only thing that would have made it cooler. So right now I'm watching World War II in color on Netflix. The only thing that would have made that cooler is if they had actually colorized that black and white footage make it feel more real. Mm-hmm. You know,
but it was really cool. Just the depth that mm-hmm. added to it. It was like, wow, you couldn't stop watching this stuff. So it was like he was going there and then they had different things going on. It's like you couldn't watch the entire production at once, because there was so much, there was stuff
going on.
Like what was happening on the left side of them was different than the right. There'd be different news articles and different facts and different quotes and different things. And it was constant this. So you'd get done watching that and then you'd hit the NFC machine and then you'd have another video playing. And one of the rooms was a hangar, like an old military hangar, and mm-hmm. the ceiling was blown out. And then they had a projector up there projecting airplanes flying by. So it was
cool.
When you buy your pass, you can buy a second day pass for $7.
So right now they're working on a sixth building,
mm-hmm.
plus they're going to be making a Higgins Hotel. So it's going to be completely like 1940s style inside the hotel. So I told Jeremy, I was like, I really would like to go back down and actually take a couple days and fully experience the museum. One of the funny things is Jeremy told some of the guys he was on the deployment with, and he said, yeah, Kara and I are going to the World War II Museum. And they were like, Kara would like that?
Yeah.
Little do they know, I love World War II history. Thank you.
Well, you were going to be a history major.
I wanted to be a history major with a specific focus on World War II. That's what I wanted to do. But I was like, what would I do with that?
Yeah.
I'd go work at the World War II Museum.
There you go. There you go.
See you, Jeremy.
Bye. Right? Just kidding.
So I can't say enough good things about it. They've got it. They've done it really well. Mm-hmm. They've got one whole floor is dedicated to the European conflict. One whole floor is dedicated to the Pacific conflict. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. They've got facts and interactive stuff. And like I said, the dog tag things, we went around and collected as much as we could. And we got 77 different collectibles. And
I feel bad because like at each of the kiosks, there was on average, I would say probably 6 videos. But there were only like 1 or 2 that you could download to watch later.
Oh, okay.
But like it's, I mean, if you were to sit and watch every single video.
Read
every single thing.
I'd say about a week.
Yeah. Easily. And when we were there, they were in one of the buildings, they were working on an additional display that was completely closed off. It was a huge room. We kind of peeked in. It looked like Russian stuff to me. So I'm wondering if that, because honestly, when we were there, they talked a little bit about Russia, but they didn't talk a lot about Russia. So I'm wondering if they're kind of going to.
Some like Eastern Front stuff.
Yes. Yeah, yep. Which would be super cool.
But they had one whole building was a STEM building. So your science and engineering and math.
That was awesome. So they talked about how you plot with the stuff they use, how you decide how far away a plane is.
Okay.
And so what they had are these 2 mirrors and then basically like a scope. Mm-hmm. Aimed at one of the mirrors, and you see 2 parts of a plane.
So you look at the plane, and then you turn your scope, and so you keep the plane, the real plane there.
You turn the mirror,
and you turn the mirror until the bottom half of the plane lines up with what you actually see.
Okay,
and then it uses the distance between the mirrors, and you have a chart, and it tells you how far away the plane is.
Yep.
Okay.
It was actually super really cool.
So they had that. They had a Higgins boat in there. Which is what they used on Normandy to bring all the soldiers in.
Troops to land on the beach.
Yep. So they brought that. They had Higgins boat.
They had a giant ear.
Yep.
A giant ear. So it was about,
I'd say 10 feet
at least wide. 10 feet wide.
10 feet diameter.
It had these big tubes that looked like conch shells, more or less, mm-hmm. that wrapped into one little tiny earpiece. And the Germans would listen to it, and they could hear airplanes coming before they could detect them on their radar and stuff like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That was insane. So they had that, and they had a medical truck. That was really cool. And they had a PT boat. Was it a PT boat?
Something like that.
They had a really big boat.
They had an airplane model, mm-hmm. and they had a wind generator. And you took the airplane model, and you could try to set the wings to get maximized lift for that specific set of airplanes or whatever.
What was the engine they had there?
They had a V12 for like it was a Packard motor. Restuck into the Higgins motors. So anyways, that was our trip to New Orleans.
Sorry. We are going to have a World War II podcast.
We want to have a podcast on and have Kara's brother on because he loves World War II stuff, mm-hmm. and just sit and talk about World War II facts. And get corrected by the internet. Chris's biggest fear.
That's not my biggest fear. It's just what I know is going to happen. Everybody on the internet is a World War II historian. So you can't say anything about it without getting corrected by literally the entire internet.
Our comments are going to be comments. They're going to be well actuallys. Maybe I'll dress up as Rosie for that podcast.
There you go.
Yeah, that can be fun. Yeah, so leave all of your corrections in the comments section below. And while you're doing that, like this video if you liked it. Even if we made a bunch of mistakes about whatever we talked about, and you know, if you actually like what we were talking about, hit the subscribe button. It shows that you're supporting what we're doing to the channel. You can come back and check out what we're doing, or if you're really into what we're doing, ring that notification bell. You'll get notified of every single video that we upload. It really shows that you support us, and we really truly do appreciate it. And of course,
may the force be with you.